you're adults and it's the mortgage and it's the car payments and carpool. And it's kind of nice to kind of reflect back on that time when it was so easy, but you didn't think it was easy at the time, but now you know it was the easy time.
That's Ashley Elston, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Ashley Elston is the author of several novels, including 10 Blind Dates, The Rules for Disappearing, This Is Our Story, and The Lying Woods. She joins us to talk about her latest novel, 10 Truths and a Dare. Ashley, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, tell us about the plot of 10 Truths and a Dare.
10 Truths and a Dare follows Olivia in that really cool time at the end of your high school career. You finished with school, but you haven't quite graduated, and you have maybe a few days, you know, in between those two things. And, you know, there may be parties and celebrations and get-togethers and family coming in town, and you just kind of are living in that moment of, you know, being free and done with school, and, you know, everything is ahead of you. And my girl Olivia is one that has always been, you know, on top of her business, very put together, and realizes that her walk across the stage is threatened by this sort of pesky half-credit off-campus PE that she just sort of blew off. So she's got this 1 week to get that worked out so that she doesn't miss graduation.
This story is told in first person by the character Olivia. I'm wondering what the challenge was like for you in finding the voice of this contemporary teen.
Well, I have three sons. Two of them are in college now, but you know, a lot of the past years have been, you know, my house full of teenage kids and lots of their friends and boys and girls and coming and going, and lucky enough that they're comfortable here and happy to be here and happy for us to kind of be a part of their life during that time. And so I got to spend a lot of time with, you know, kids that age and see them and watch them and, you know, then kind of reflect on my time at that same age. And I think that's sort of kind of where I draw from.
Mm-hmm. So having the kids in maybe more sustained contact than a normal year would bring, I would think that that would help, you know, with making sure you could sort of be contemporary in terms of the vernacular and the way kids are talking and things that are important at this point in their lives.
Yes. And I mean, and I do have to sort of ask, you know, sometimes the awkward things like, you know, this is what I'm trying to say, but what words would I use, you know, and, you know, and they laugh at me, but they also think it's kind of cool to, you know, kind of help shape the book to make sure that it's accurate. And then, you know, I get lots of opinions. Well, I mean, do you mean it like this, or do you want to say it like that? And it, you know, it kind of becomes a fun thing, fun conversation. So, you know, I don't mind asking for that help when I need it.
So you had your own research and focus group right there.
I do.
For what age group is this novel intended?
I think eighth grade and up, you know, it's primarily high school, you know, shenanigans, and those, you know, those are the ages of the main characters. I do have, you know, I think a fair amount of adult readers, which, you know, I'm an adult. I read YA. I think that's kind of its own thing as well.
You know, I've heard that from a number of YA authors that they also have adult fans. Why do you think that is?
I think this is kind of the time of your life that you think back to, and it was sort of the springboard for everything else. And it was, there's so much potential. The world's wide open. You finished high school. You know, are you going to college? Are you going to trade school? Are you just going to go get a job? Are you going to travel? You know, I mean, it's just sort of, you know, the possibilities stretch ahead of you, and maybe anything is possible. You know, that feeling that I can kind of go be something else, and you're going to leave your parents' house and go out on your own for the first time. And, you know, how do those high school friendships carry over when maybe you don't live in the same town anymore? And I think a lot of people, you know, and you're adults and it's the mortgage and it's the car payments and carpool. And it's kind of nice to kind of reflect back on that time when it was so easy, but you didn't think it was easy at the time, but now you know it was the easy time.
In the dedication to your book, you say this is for the classes of 2020 and 2021. Is that in part due to the fact that we've been living through this pandemic and a lot of kids haven't had that traditional high school experience?
Absolutely. When I really thought about this book and who I wanted to dedicate it to, you know, this book was, you know, the idea was there and was already planned and before the pandemic hit. So, you know, it was already working in this direction to be this, you know, graduation story. And then the pandemic hits. And at the time, my middle son was a senior in high school. And so, you know, he is all of a sudden at home and he's virtual learning and there's no prom and there's no parties. And we were lucky enough to get a graduation, but it was very late in the summer, outside, socially distanced, parents only, you know, and we were lucky for that. I realized that there were some kids that didn't even get that, but it's so less than what you wanted it to be for them. And so, you know, as I'm writing this book and I'm trying to impart all of the fun and chaos and craziness and, you know, everything that's supposed to be during that week, while at this, in reality, I'm, you know, I've got a kid that's just missed it all. And it was kind of sad. And it just, it made it a little bit, you know, harder sometimes for him and for me to write this. And so I thought, you know what, these kids, you know, this is really who this book needs to be dedicated to, because they just kind of got the raw end of the deal, I hate, you know, to say.
This story is contemporary, but at the same time is timeless as well. What are some of the universal themes that you explore in this novel?
You know, the obvious kind of coming of age, you're going to be, you know, this is the last sort of moments that you're probably living under your parents' roof. And before you, you know, maybe you're moving to a different town and, you know, sort of that feeling of that newfound independence and what that's going to look or feel like. It's also, you know, because Olivia, you know, while she's trying to make things right, she's also trying not to alert her parents that there's a problem to begin with. So there's a lot of, you know, hiding what she's doing from them in an age where it's very easy to keep track of your kids. You know, are you the family that has Life 360 and, you know, where everybody is at any given moment? And what do you do if you kind of need a moment where you don't want everybody to know where you are? So it's, you know, that sort of, what am I going to give my parents or what can I take for myself kind of thing, probably are the most universal threads in this book.
You know, Ashley, I'm always curious about process and how people write. And I've talked with some authors who have included the pandemic in their work and others who have chosen not to include it for a variety of reasons. You said this was already in the works ahead of the pandemic, but did the pandemic influence your writing of this novel?
I mean, in a way that I did not want to mention it. I, you know, I'm very much like, I'd like for this to be in the rearview mirror and never talk about it again. I don't want to read about it. I don't want to write about it. I feel like everybody has lived it at such a level that I don't want to give it any more space than it's already taken.
Another thing that, you know, an author obviously brings to the table is their past experiences. And I understand that you were a professional wedding photographer. How do you think that experience informs your work as an author?
I'm very visual. I like to see the scene in my head before I start writing it. And I think the photography helps with that, obviously. And then also, especially for wedding photography, you know, when you start the day out with that bride and groom, you're telling their story of the day. And it starts out at the beginning and you see, you know, maybe a little bit of putting the veil on and touch-ups to the makeup and, you know, that sort of getting dressed part. And then you kind of move into ceremony and then to the reception, the fun stuff, and finally the going away. And when you sort of put all those pictures together, it tells as much of a story as, you know, words on a page could. And, you know, the details and the, you know, the behind the scenes part that maybe the regular guests don't see, that only the family was witness to. And I think they kind of go hand in hand.
Now, you said you like to envision a scene before you write about it, which leads to my next question is, I've talked with some authors who, you know, outline their stories completely and others start with a destination in mind and figure it out as they go along. So, you know, some have said, I write with a map. Others says, I write with a compass. How would you describe your process?
Definitely more the compass. And I kind of like that comparison. I start out with an opening. I always have a very clear idea of what my opening is, and I see it, and I may not know exactly what it means or where I'm going to take it, but that's sort of what unfolds first. And I start there. And then I kind of, you know, like, okay, well, great. Well, that happened. Well, now what if this happens? And I just kind of, what if my way, you know, into, you know, a few thousand words, 10,000 words. And then if I really feel like, gosh, maybe the story has some legs, then is when I really start thinking, okay, maybe this says something. So let me think about where I'm trying to go and what I'm trying to do. But I always give myself the freedom to sort of take a left turn if I feel like I need to take that left turn. And sometimes that's where the magic is, when it's, you kind of just let those characters unfold in front of you. And then when you get pretty deep into it, then I start really looking at it like, okay, you know, do I have this part? Do I have this part? Am I making the progress I need to make? But I can't do that until I'm almost halfway through it.
Ashley, there's a question I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. If you could spend a day in real life with one of the characters you created for this novel, who would it be and why?
Oh, Charlie. He's the cousin, and he is just fun and, you know, up for anything. And I mean, I think if you spent the day with him, it would just be a good time. I mean, you would just probably go do something silly, but he is, you know, he's sort of the, you know, the jokester, the clown of the group. And, you know, it sounds like a fun day.
So what's next for you?
I'm writing. I'm working on some things. I'm still kind of early enough in that process that it's not really hashed out yet, but that's the fun part. So I'm kind of discovering what it is. So hopefully this is not the last book from me.
This novel is 10 Truths and a Dare. It's by Ashley Elston. Ashley, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.